I just said, you're not asleep, you know what I mean by that. Evander, look what I did. No, you didn't do it, sir. It was a female Sunday school teacher that knelt with me in the corner, cried with me and prayed with me, and I found Jesus Christ because of that lady. Fast forward to age 14. We have Youth Sunday in my church. We had young people take over the church service once a year. I don't know if you did it here in America. We would call it Youth Sunday. And a pastor said to me at age 14, "Basta predicar, you're going to preach." And we're, no. "Pastor, you don't understand who I am. I'm tartamudo, I'm tongue-tied. I'm boccaccio, two missing front teeth. When I speak, I whistle. And I'm skinny, I weigh 960 pounds. He says, "That's not my problem, mijo. That's God's situation. You're going to preach for Youth Sunday." And I practiced my sermon to the iguanas and the horses and the crabs all week in my homeland. And then on Sunday morning, I went to church, and my dad shows up with a $5 suit he bought in the corner because he wanted his son to look nice in the pulpit. And I remember going to the corner, and my dad said, "Benica, come here, put it on." And he put on this old suit that he bought for $5 in the corner. And I went to the pulpit. And I started my sermon in a great way. "In the beginning, God created Eve. And out of Eve, he took Adam." If you fail that, you need to go back to Sunday school. And I said it clearly. That's what I thought. But I had not read my Bible or opened my Bible to read the scripture. And everybody went south on me. They just laughed me off the platform just about. I made a bad mistake in my first statement to Christians from the platform. It wasn't Eve before Adam. It was Adam and then Eve. I made my correction, and in 7 minutes I was finished. It was to be a 20-minute sermon. Ain't going to happen today. But in 7 minutes, I was finished. And the pastor stood up and said, "Did you see what God did to Fermin? Fermin Agustin Whitaker Archibald. Full name, four names. Could not speak five without missing three." And he spoke for 7 minutes, never missed a word. And I have preached in Central America to 40,000 people. Don't miss a word. Put a camera in my face and I freeze. My son Carlos got the DNA for that camera. I didn't. I missed it. That's where I came from. Man of nobody. Two English names, one Spanish name. "Well, who are you?" "Isle of the King." And I came to the Lord Jesus Christ because a woman Sunday school teacher. Excuse me for crying sometimes. Cried with me on the weekends. "You cannot get to heaven on somebody else's shoes." But I remember going into my lifestyle and learning how to preach and so forth. I went to school in Toronto, Canada, 4 years, and I came to America in 1964. And the world has changed in my life since then. Met my wife, led her to Christ, baptized her, you know, "Will you baptize me?" You guys are slow today. But I met her, led her to Christ, and became a member of our church, and the rest is history. It's what, 40? 47 years ago, we've been married. I want to speak to the pastor and his wife, but I want to speak to the congregation more than anything else this morning. There's a verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and verse 4 that I love to read. "Knowing your election, brothers, loved by God." It was not an accident that you're here. It was a God that says, "You are the one that I was in this community, on this street corner, to lead men and women, boys and girls, to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ." And it has not been easy. Don't tell me it was. Both of you, Lauren, both of you have walked the highways of this communities. You've served in places where you shouldn't be serving. the secular world that you have helped to believe in Jesus Christ, both of you, came because of your heart and your call for God. One of the verses in my Bible and your Bible that I read a lot is in Isaiah 42, verses 6 and 8. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. The church didn't call you. The community didn't call you. The convention didn't call you. It was the power of Jesus Christ that says, you're it. And those are the qualifications this congregation has learned to respect and to accept and to love. When God calls you, he calls you to serve him and to honor him. And the verse says, I've called you in righteousness and I will hold your hands. There were days that I wanted to go away. I remember one year when I was a young pastor in Los Angeles, I went to Rose Hills before I got married to Carmen. I had a congregation of 14 members and deacons. A real Southern Baptist church. And the deacons would say to me, Pastor, you preach in English? You go. You don't speak in English in this congregation. We're Primera Iglesia Bautista Mexicana. First Mexican Baptist church. We don't speak English. And I remember them saying to me, if you speak in English, we're going to fire you. The deacons did. I'm thinking, okay. And that third week in the church of preaching, there were no teenagers. And I look through the window and I see the kids playing soccer in the parking lot while I'm preaching. So I came off the platform and went outside and said, Mijo, ven a la iglesia. Hey guys, let's go to church. Pastor, we don't speak Spanish. But your dad is Martinez. I said, no, my dad is Martin. I'm not Martinez. In the 60s in Los Angeles, the kids were discriminated against from Latin America. They're called TJs, Tijuana Crazy. And these kids would change their last names to try to anglicize their life, and they never made it to church. Played soccer. And I went back to the platform, and I sat there watching these 14 little old ladies and old men sitting in the corner. And I said, I don't know what to do, God. If I speak in English, I'm going to get fired by 11:30. And the words came from heaven. Bilingue, so bilingual. Never heard it in my life. Bilingue, and I'm going, who's talking to me? Well, the Holy Spirit just told me to go bilingual. I had never used those words in my life. And I went back to the platform and I said, abran la Biblia, open your Bibles, Mateo 5, 6, Matthew 5, 6. Dios nos ama, God loves us. And I went bilingual like that, back and forth. And a young guy was outside watching me and he goes like this. He came in and sat in the back. And the church exploded. Those are the missionaries around the world. Those are the people in positions of leadership across California. I see young faces and mayor from my little congregation, because those were the children that grew up bilingually. They took pride back into their language and their culture. They went back and learned how to live in a community that didn't like them. And I began to learn how to leap on the street corners and how to work with men and women who did not understand what I was doing, Pastor. They just said, well, if you try it, we'll do it. And for years we did it. And the deacons changed. They started paying me $25 for a good sermon, $15 for a bad sermon. That's my congregation. Those are the people I grew up with. They didn't do it out of any anger. They just felt like, well, you know, we can afford the 15 because the church didn't give the 25. We didn't teach our people tithes and offering in those days. At least we didn't. And finally, an associational missionary came with a white guy, Anglo guy in the back, sit down in the corner. I didn't know who he was. And after prayer meeting, he's gone. Wednesday night, same guy, same suit, same head, same place, in the back of the church. I looked at him and I didn't say anything. I came through the side door and I caught him in the parking lot. And I said, who are you? He said, well, I am Bill Burkey. So who's Bill Burkey? Remember Bill Burkey? Well, I'm the director of associational mission. Well, what is that? I never heard the word association in my life. He said, we're a group of churches that work together to build life in our communities. Then he asked me a question. He said, well, what do you do? I said, well, I'm a pastor. He said, no, you're not. You're just a student missionary, student worker from summer mission work. And he said, tell me your church. What are you guys doing? I said, nothing. They pay me 15 and 10, 15 and 10. He says, do you have a budget? I said, what is that? We're cash and carry in my culture. You guys are still in the present. Cash and carry means in, it goes out, period. We don't do budget in my homeland. And he said, well, I'm going to get this convention. Come and teach your people how to tithe. What's a convention? This guy came on Monday afternoon to my little corner church, and he said, Pastor Whitaker, let me teach your people how to give to God. He said, every church should give 10% out of the building to mission work. 3% to cooperative, no, 7% to the cooperative program, and 3% to the local association. And 10% of your church grabs the community, and you will see what God can do. And we did that. We started that same week. And when you look at the numbers today, that church has given $80,000 a year. A little Mexican church in the corner who learned the power of tithing. When you give, God sees you in so many ways. It's a whole new sermon, by the way. But the reality of it is we don't talk like that. We say we just don't have enough in the pocket. Yes, we do. God says, I will supply all your needs. All your needs, my pastor friend. This building is an amazing place to come to. I remember the other building I came to the last time. And to see what God has done, because you have pulled together as a family. And you have lifted each other up in prayer and in love. You're there when we cry. You're there when we're in pain. You're there when we're at the cemeteries. And you're there. I will always remember that midday when I went to the cemetery. The deacons didn't like me, and I went to the cemetery and I was talking to God. They don't love me, God. And I just sat in a gravesite in a cemetery. And the voice of the Lord said, what are you doing here? Nobody can hear you. You're all dead. Go back to your community and love your people. And walk with those who are having a hard day. And walk with those who are crying. And I went back to that small community and began to work. I worked for the police. I worked for the fire department. I did everything I could to communicate with my community, which is exactly what your pastor and his wife have done all these years. We're not strangers anymore. We're just families on a boat headed to the right direction through the power and presence of Jesus Christ. I have called you. Every one of you in this room were invited by God to help make transformation possible. And nothing is impossible with the God that I know. He says, I have called you in righteousness, and I will hold your hand. I told you this, my pastor friend. I will hold your hand. Cold hands, God holds them, and they warm up. Cold hands, but we have a God that says, I'll take care of you. When the walls are falling down, I will be with you. You may have to move somewhere else, but I will never, ever leave you or forsake you. And I've learned that over the years, how much love our people have around us, but we never stop to say hello. We're hurting so much, we don't want to share with anyone. I'm in a transition time in my life right now that's really a little difficult. My wife and I talked about this often. I don't remember much about my childhood, but I do remember that Sunday school teacher. I don't remember much of my church, but I do remember the pastor saying, you'll make it through the river today. We have impacted people who we will never see on this planet. But your love, your song, your words, your kindnesses, I will take folks where one day they'll say, I've had enough of this. I can move forward. Let me remember what God has done. I had a man that I led to Christ at a Catholic wedding. Imagine a Baptist doing a Catholic wedding. But because The Catholic priest didn't show up, and they called and said, would you take the wedding? I said, sure. I'm always trying to find connectors. I went to a Catholic wedding and did a Catholic service. I mean, a Baptist service and a Catholic wedding. And I went home with the certificate for the bride and the groom, and I had to take it to a lady and a man in my community. And I took it there, and they took this, and they said, well, you did a good job, sir. And they walked away. Next Sunday, who shows up in church? The couple with a certificate. You forgot to sign it. Chispas, as we say in Spanish. And I signed it. And he says, you're the pastor, right? Yeah. What time is your service next month, next week? And they showed up in church. And both people walked forward that Sunday morning to invite Jesus Christ. And I'm thinking, what happened? It's called loving the community in which you live. They spray painted our building in Los Angeles. We used to do it a lot. The guy went to church one Sunday morning and he just realized they had spray painted stuff outside the building and inside the building on the walls. And he gets up, this new believer from last week gets up and he says, Pastor, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. I'm going to break every finger of his hand and I know who he is. That was the last time they spray painted a building. This, you know, he came from that culture. And he said, no, this is God's house. You respect it. You love it. You worship there. Total strangers from a different world altogether. And Pastor, you have done exactly the same thing. You've helped the community. You've helped teachers, both of you and your wife. And you've never said, no, not here. You've never said, let me see your passport. Let me check your numbers and see who you are. You've never done that as a community of churches. And that's why God has given you the gift you have today of a man and woman, Gary Dew and Laura Dew, husband and wife, to spend all these years and loving you and guiding you and lifting you up. That's what he has done. But he couldn't do it without you. He did it for two reasons, for two presentations. A God who loves us so much that he will never, ever leave us or forsake us. And a God who said, I'm here. I'm here. This convention has a ministry among 87 languages in California. Over the years, we discover, I don't want anyone to go to heaven and say to God, me no speak English. So we began to speak in many languages in 1948, 49, whatever the years were, the Homishan Board. And we began to speak in over 100 languages in the United States to say, whatever you speak, we'll stand on our head, sing in Swahili, and let you lead you to Christ. Whatever it is you do, we want you to know of a God who cares about you. Russians, Romanians, Europeans from all over the world, Middle Easterners who has over 1,000 evangelicals in Southern California who meet once a year to celebrate the journey of Jesus Christ. All across the state, you have done it because of your love for sharing the gospel and your love for sharing the resources God has given you and for your love to hold the pastor up. 35 years, that is a very long time. But thank God for a man and his wife who walk in the center of God's will. He didn't chase the chihuahuas. He didn't chase the birds. You know, I say that a lot. I said, don't spend your energy on your knees and talking to a God who says, I'm here, Fermin. I'm here, Maria. I'm here, Francisco. I'm here to let you know, Mary, John, whoever you are, I'm a God that's not on vacation. I'm a God that walks with you, and you look around and you celebrate the prayer room in the corner. You celebrate the room for the children who in 20 years may come and own this place and be across. I love that worship leader that was standing there doing a great job. I'm thinking to myself, she's it. And you may say, you may laugh today, but 20 years from now you stand here and say, wow. Because we live with a God that does miracles. a God that teaches us to walk slowly, a God that helps us to celebrate the day. And every one of us in ministry today, one day someone says it's time, and you to raise your hand, or you walk forward, and God says, welcome home, son. Welcome home, sister. Welcome home, child. I'm a God of grace and a God of mercy. I, the Lord, Gary and Laura, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you. I will give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles, to open blind eyes and to bring prisoners out of the prison house. I am the Lord. That is my name. It's not an accident. It's not a job. It's a calling for each one of us. And imagine the people you can touch with love across your community. And this morning I want to say thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity to be here with my wife. But more than anything else, thank you, Lord, for the gift of joy you've given us. The ages we live at, some of us are a little older than 39. And we hip around. I do hip around with my back. And I say to people, it's okay. It's okay. We're on our way home. And the rest is, God is in charge of the journey. And God is in charge of your 35 years here. Could have taken you back in 20s or 30 years ago when stuff sometimes were not as pleasant as they are today. But you and your wife have stayed on the course. You and Laura decided this is a calling from God. And every one of you in this room today, even as a Christian, believer in Jesus Christ, you're called by God. You're called to be His instrument of transformation, His instrument of love to the people on the highway that don't know how to find home. And I want to thank you for your membership in our convention, but more than anything else, I want to thank you for the years of your service. Many of you remember me when I was a much younger, handsome young man. I went to the convention meetings. Those were the days that this convention lifted me up and said, for me, every man, woman, boy and girl in California needs to hear the gospel. Whatever language you speak, you need to hear that God is good. God is an amazing person that walks with us. He's alive and well on the planet Earth. And He's right here in your community. He's right here in your church. And no one can change that. Love your leadership. Hold them up. Walk with them and guide them. And remember that to do the same for each other. Because to be very honest, sometimes we forget after Sunday afternoon. We don't listen to the cry. Listen to the voices of yesterday. The older men who were here. Small chairs. Different color paintings. But they're here. Some were here and some are still here. And they walk with us through the doorway of pain sometimes. And we run away to the next big church across the hallway. And God says, but that's not where you were called. I called you to this community of church. I call you to be my family. And I want to celebrate day with you to say, to God be the glory. To God be the glory. Look what He has done. Look what He has done. It's not a survival. We don't survive in our churches. Your beautiful faces tell me this is not a church with long-faced people. It's a church with smiles, a church with moving your head, a church with saying, yes, my God is good all the time. My God is good all the time. And I want to say to you, thank you for this invitation to be here. Thank you for taking the extra time I normally do. And my wife keeps looking at me with certain eyelids, saying it's time to move on. after you get married to, I don't know if you can do it in English, but in Spanish we say, sí, mi amor. Yes, my love. Time's up. Thank you for your time. May God bless you. But before we leave, I want to invite you to put your faith and trust in God. And I don't know who in this room may be having a tough time, and some of us are. We never talk about it. I don't know who in this room may be having some pain that you've been hurt by someone. You don't know how to say, okay, God bless you. And sometimes we live in situations where life is so hard, so painful. So I'm going to ask the pastor to come and stand with me. And I'd like to have an invitation for you to come and pray at the altar. Whatever your pain may be, whatever your crisis may be, whatever your issue may be in life, to realize that God is available to stand here today and give you the joy and the blessing that you need. During your invitation, I'm going to have him to take over and bring the invitation to a close. But remember, yesterday is the God of today. And thank you so much, pastor and wife, for all that you've done. The best is yet to come. Amen.